He cut his hair since last night in the movie. If you have your Bible, would you open it with me, please, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would speak to us this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would take our thoughts captive, that you would focus our attention upon yourself, that you would allow nothing, Lord, to distract us from what you desire to say to us. We pray, Father, that we might be attuned to the voice of your Spirit and that you would speak to our hearts, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts that will believe and enter into and experience the marvelous grace and the love that you have for us. We ask, Father, that you would touch us in a deep way and that you would speak to us. And, Father, it is our prayer for this whole conference that we might leave this place knowing you far better than we did when we came here yesterday, and that we might go back to our respective ministries and congregations and share the love that you've given to us with others, that they might be blessed and touched and ministered to. And, Father, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, the Lord says, "And I will give you pastors according to my heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." And what I'd like to do this morning, just to start us out, is to put you in remembrance of a couple of things that you've already heard several times yesterday, and I'm sure you're going to hear several more times today. These are things which I learned from my pastor a number of years ago, and things which he has reinforced in my life again and again. I just say that by way of introduction because up at the Bible College, we always tell the students to make sure that they footnote all their resources. And so I'm footnoting everything I'm about to say. I learned from Chuck Smith. I don't know why he wants me to be here to say this. I think it'd be far better if he would. In fact, I think it'd be better if all of us went home or sat out there and he could just do the whole conference. I think that would be more beneficial. But anyway, so just a couple of things that Chuck has taught us about ministry. I will raise up, the Lord said, pastors after my own heart. And it really is the deepest desire of my heart, and I'm sure it is of your heart too, to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, to live in His presence, to live in that secret place of the Most High, to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When it's all said and done, when this life is over, when the trumpet sounds and we're snatched up to be with the Lord, to have Him look into our eyes and say, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and I'll make you ruler over many." We want to be men and women after God's own heart. And I wanted to suggest to you this morning that there are several things which I think make up a pastor after God's own heart. First of all, the pastor after God's own heart is one who feeds the people with knowledge and understanding. As God was ministering to us yesterday through Pastor Chuck, and as he was teaching us and reminding us that one of the distinctives of Calvary Chapel is to go verse by verse through the Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, teaching the people the Word of God. But not just teaching them the Word of God, teaching them the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, so often I think we look for the more spectacular charismatic gifts of the Spirit, and there's nothing wrong with spectacular things. There's if they're decent and in order, there's nothing wrong with miracles, and we believe in healings, and we've seen around Calvary Chapel many remarkable things take place. And yet there is a tremendous anointing of the Holy Spirit just on the teaching of God's Word in this place. And as we come here week after week, and as we sit and we listen to Pastor Chuck, one of the things that happens is that we are fed the Word of God, because it's the Word of God being taught under the anointing, under the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we desperately need in our lives. God in these last days, I believe, is raising up pastors after His own heart who will feed His people. I really believe that God's people need to be fed, and that God will bring His people any place where they are being fed. And it's our responsibility, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, to speak to the people, ministering to them the Word of God, book after book, Genesis to Revelation and then back again, feeding the people the pure Word of God, anointed by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the pastor after God's own heart is a servant. Jesus said he who would be greatest in the kingdom must learn to be the servant of all. And he said he who would be chief among you must learn to be your slave. Jesus said that the Gentiles were in the habit of exercising lordship over one another, but Jesus said it shall not be so among you. But instead, the greatest in the kingdom must be the servant of all, must take the place of a slave. It impresses me that in John chapter 13, the creator of the universe knelt down and washed the feet of his disciples. And then he told his disciples that if they wanted to follow him, that they must learn to do the same. That's what true ministry really is. Ministry is not being in a position above people. It's not a place of prestige or power or influence. It's not a place where you can control other people's lives or boss people around, tell them what to do, have people wait on you. There are so many people that we see out there in the ministry, and they are in it for what they can get out of it, not just materially. We recognize that in the crassest kind of sense. We see those people that seem to be in it just for what they can get materially, but there are also people who are in it for the prestige, or in it for the authority, or are in it for the what it does to their own egos as people look at them and say, oh, you know, aren't you a wonderful person? Because people will always try to exalt the vessel. And of course, that's a danger. Whenever you are used of God, there's always the danger of people trying to give you the credit. I'm sure you've experienced that. After a Sunday service, there will invariably be people who will come up to you and say, oh, that's just the most marvelous message, you know, I've ever heard. You know, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread or whatever. And, you know, outside we're saying, praise God. And inside we're saying, yes, I really am wonderful, aren't I? Hallelujah me. We must be very, very careful, because God will never share his glory with any man or any woman. The whole history of the Calvary Chapel movement, as you watched the film last night and again the rest of it tonight, the thing that impresses me about the whole history of Calvary Chapel is that God has chosen the foolish things of the world and the weak things of the world and the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We must be very careful not to take the credit, because we are simply instruments for the Holy Spirit to use. And we must recognize that ministry, true ministry, is being a servant. It's not hiring people to be a servant. It's not training a staff in order to be a servant. It's being a servant yourself. I always get uncomfortable when I see flow charts in churches. I think if you're going to have a flow chart, you need to turn it upside down and put it on the wall backwards, because the greatest in the kingdom should be the servant of all, the higher up, so to speak, that God puts you. It simply means that you have more people to serve. That's the only difference. More people to care for. And really, there's no one who has ever modeled that more consistently in my life than my pastor. For the last 20 years, I've watched Pastor Chuck diligently serve individuals, and he is a servant everywhere he goes. It's not something that he does just here on Sunday mornings for people to see him. He's a servant wherever he goes, and you can find him, and we could go on with the illustrations, you know. But whatever needs doing, a servant opens his eyes and he sees what needs to be done, and he does the things that need doing. If there's trash that needs picking up, bend over and pick it up. If there's an air conditioner that needs to be fixed, then fix it. If somebody's car needs to be jump-started, then hook up the cables and jump-start it. You see, we need to roll up our sleeves and get our hands dirty and wade into where the people are and serve them, minister to them, whatever it is that they need. We need to open our eyes and recognize the needs. So often, it's not that we are unwilling to serve, it's that we're oblivious to the need for service. We need to pray that God would open our eyes, that we might have the ability to see what needs to be done and then to respond, to do it, to lay down our lives. The shepherd, the true shepherd, gives his life for the sheep. He's not a hireling. He doesn't have people following him around and carrying his bags for him and opening the doors for him and making a fuss over him all the time. He's not interested in any of that. His heart is in serving the people, in loving the people, in laying down his life for the people. It should be our goal to make our congregations of people the best loved, best fed people on earth. I know you've heard that expression several times already, but it bears repeating. It should be our goal to make them the best loved people on earth, the best fed people on earth, to care for them, to serve them, to minister to them, to help them. We are their slaves. That's our responsibility if God has called us to ministry. And then thirdly and finally, I believe that the pastor after God's own heart is not only one who feeds the people with knowledge and understanding, and not only one who serves the people, but I think also the pastor after God's own heart, the man or the woman that God is looking for that place of ministry within the congregation, that man that God wants to be the pastor, or that woman that God has called to lead that women's ministry or oversee that children's ministry, the person that God uses and who will love his people the way he does. I hear so many sermons that talk about God's people as being sheep, and then, you know, the implication is that sheep are stupid and do all sorts of dumb things, which is true. I used to raise sheep in Colorado, and they're not very bright animals. We had one that was always getting her head stuck in the fence trying to eat something that was on the other side, and I'd have to, you know, hear her yelling. I'd have to go pull her out of there. But, you know, when Jesus talked about his people being sheep without a shepherd, he was not saying that they're just stupid. That wasn't his point. His point was that they needed to be cared for, that they needed to be loved. And I believe that God today is looking for men and women who will love his people the way he does. The shepherd after God's own heart is a man who carries the people of God on his heart. Remember in the Old Testament, the high priest wore the 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel on his breast at all times. The symbolism was that he was carrying the people of God on his heart. He loved the people of God. They were close to his heart. He wanted what was best for them. When Jesus stood and he looked out over the city of Jerusalem, he saw the people in his mind's eye like sheep without a shepherd. He saw them scattered and bruised and bleeding and hurting and dying because they had been ravaged by the forces of evil, because they had been hurt by Satan. The wolf had come in and had destroyed the flock. And the deepest longing, the deepest passion in the heart of our Lord and Savior was to gather them into his arms, to enfold them in his grace, to minister the healing and restorative love of Christ to their hearts. And that ought to be our desire as well, to enfold people in the love of Jesus Christ. Now, one of the lessons that I had to learn the hard way was that nobody in my congregations needs me. That's tough to learn. At one point in my ministry, I was overwhelmed with counseling, and I realized that what I was doing was making people responsible to me. I was making them dependent upon me. It was as if I had all the answers, and then I realized I didn't have any answers. Well, originally I had all the answers, but then as time progressed, I realized that I didn't have any answers. You know, I think I did everything wrong. I was sure that Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, if you love me, beat my sheep." And I did. I got up every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I beat the sheep. I would exhort them, you know, and I'd just lay it on them. And they loved it. They did. They loved it. They thought that's what church was. They'd come out afterwards. They'd say, "Oh, thank you, Pastor, for beating me. I really appreciate the whipping, you know." And I gave them no skills, no ability to grow in the things of the Lord because I wasn't teaching them the Word of God. But then I started to sit at the feet of Pastor Chuck and learn from the Scriptures, and my spirit was being fed. And I was growing. And then as God led me to step out into ministry, I started teaching others in the same way. And my goal was simply to teach them the Word of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and to love them as I was doing so. I see pastors sometimes who are at odds with the congregation, who are fighting with the congregation. Got to whip these people into shape. Got to make them do these things. But you see, our attitude is wrong when we have that thought in our minds, because we should not be seeking what they can give to us, but instead what we can give to them. We are not here to be ministered to. We're here to minister to others. We're not here to have them bless us. We're here in order that we might bless them. We're here to love them with the love of Jesus Christ. And it is my goal that every person that comes under the ministry would be enfolded in the tremendous love of Jesus Christ, that they would feel his love and know his love and experience the grace of Jesus Christ. I want them not to stop with me. I want to lead them past myself into the arms of Jesus, that they might experience the healing and the restorative love of Christ. The pastor after God's own heart is a man who feeds the people with knowledge and understanding. He is a man who serves the people, who lays down his life for them, and he is a man who feeds them and serves them because the motive of his heart is love. He loves God's people. And that really is the secret. You know, people, it amuses me, people come from all over the world and they sit in this building and they try to figure out what secret it is. What program does this Chuck Smith have, you know, that's made this phenomenal church grow so big, not just this one, but then all the outreach churches, and it is phenomenal. In 25 years, to go from a little tiny church of 25 people to, this is one of the largest churches in the country, right here, this one, 12 of the top 25 largest churches in America are Calvary Chapel affiliates. Some 500 outreach churches all over the world. Up at the Bible College, we have students from Germany and Japan and Korea and Vietnam and Puerto Rico and foreign countries like New York. In fact, if any of you speak New York, I'm looking for a translator. Because they keep telling me things like, praise God. I don't know who God is, but God moving in a tremendous way, tremendous movement of God's Holy Spirit all over the world, you know. And people come and they sit in this congregation and they take notes and they try to figure out, what is it that Chuck Smith does which has made all this happen? What's his secret? What's the program? There really isn't any program. And the secret is, have a servant's heart, love God's people with all your heart, and feed them the Word of God. It's so simple. But that really is the key. That's why we have seen this phenomenal success. Just simply loving the people of God, feeding the people of God, serving the people of God, seeking to minister to others, not seeking to have them minister to us. May God in His grace make us today, and as a result of this conference, men and women after His own heart. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy and grace towards each of us. And we pray in Jesus' name that You would take our hearts and that You would cause us, O Lord, to be men and women after Your own heart, that You would work deeply within our hearts, and that You would teach us, O God, how to love Your people, that You would shed Your love abroad in our hearts for Your people, and that You would turn our attention off of ourselves and onto others, and that You would give us true servants' hearts, that we might open our eyes and see what needs to be done, and then do it willingly, happily, as unto You. And Lord, I pray for my brothers who are here that You have called to be pastors, that You would encourage each and every one of them. I pray that You would strengthen them, Lord. You know the trials and tribulations that they may be going through. And I ask You, Lord, to draw them very close to Your heart, to heal their individual wounds, to fill them so full of Your love and Your grace and the anointing and power of Your Holy Spirit, that they might go back to their congregations and feed them the pure, untainted Word of the living God, and that they might serve them in love, and that the love of Jesus Christ might shine forth so brightly through them that others would be attracted not to them, not to a particular church or a particular name or a particular doctrine, but might be attracted to You. Oh God, we pray that Jesus would shine brightly in our midst. Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
This is the end of side two and the end of this message. If you'd like more information on tapes or a free catalog, please contact us here at Chapel Tapes, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628.